morning. Welcome to our last week of the series Storm Chasers. So this week we're going to be talking about a subject that I'm sure none of us have any issue with, and that is pride. So before we start, if you don't mind, I'd like to go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus, we just lift this up to you right now, Lord. We lift this teaching up to you. We just ask, Lord, that your words will be my words, and that, Lord Jesus, that you will just help each one of us to be able to evaluate our life and see the areas that we need help in. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for every person here. I thank you for the people who aren't here that are listening online. And Lord Jesus, we just ask for your Holy Spirit just to move in this place, and we give you all the glory and the honor. Amen. Amen. Okay, so pride is a thing that it's hard sometimes to say that we have pride. It's okay to be proud of things. It's okay to be proud when we do something. It's okay to be proud when our children do something. It's when that becomes excessive and we start saying that that pride comes from the things that we've done in life, not the things that God has done through us. So I have some scriptures I want to share with you. The first one is 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7. And it said, "And all of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." The next one is James 4, 6. "But it gives us even more grace to stand against such evil desires. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but favors the humble." And one more, that's Proverbs 3:34. It says, "The Lord mocks the mockers, but is gracious to the humble." And if you notice in each one of their scriptures, there's two things that's emphasized. One is humility, and the other is pride. So God talks about both. Pride is something that demands attention to ourself. Pride is something that we can achieve with no problem. Pride is something that is very independent. But humility, it draws attention not to us, but to what God can do through us. Humility can't be achieved. It's something that we will do all of our life. Humility is dependent. It's dependent on us always constantly not taking things to God, but trying to do it ourselves. The New Living Translation used the word give in that first scripture. Give all of your worries and cares to God. But in the regular King James, it talks about casting all of your cares. And that's what we need to do daily, is we need to cast those cares. Cares are something that, you know, we feel like we can do on our own. We don't always give them to God and leave them. We need to just cast them. Casting something means that you are hurling it, and you're getting it as far away from you as you can. And that's what we need to do with pride. So there's a little anagram that I remember all the time since I was small. And that is that the true meaning of joy is Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. And that's what we need to do. We need to try to always remember that anything that we do in life needs to start with Jesus. And then we need to think about other people. And then in that thinking of other people, then you're going to be filled yourself. Okay, now you may be thinking that you don't have an issue with pride. But let me share with you, first of all, a Gallup poll that was conducted with high school students in 1950. During this poll, they asked students, "Do you consider yourself a very important person?" Well, at that time, 12% replied yes. 55 years later, they did that poll again, and that was in 2005, so there's a lot of time that's passed since then. 55 years later, the same question was asked, and 80% of the people replied yes. They consider themselves very important. If you don't think that you have an issue with pride, let me ask you a question. When you are in a group photo and somebody posts it online, who is the first person you look for? Do you look for yourself? And then if somebody posts pictures, possibly from a wedding or somewhere that you've been, do you go through those photos to see if you looked really bad in any of them? Or if it's a friend's Facebook, do you call them up and say, that's a really bad picture of me, could you please remove that? You know, we do, we have that tendency to be concerned about those things. So I'm gonna ask you just to do a little pride test with me. I don't want you to, you know, raise your hand or anything. I don't wanna embarrass anybody because we all are honest. So I want you, but I want you to keep track in your head as I ask these questions. Do you long for attention? Are you type of person who jokes or do things to try to be the center of attention? Are you jealous of others' success? Are you happy for them? Or are you like, wow, I wish I could do that. You know, I could sing better than they can, or I can act better than they can, or I can, you know, do whatever better than they can. Do you have a pattern of lying? Lying usually stems from trying to cover up something you don't want people to know about you. So we lie to try to cover that up. Do you acknowledge when you're wrong? That one's sometimes hard, but that is the biggest thing, is we need to be repentant when we're wrong. Do you become defensive when you're criticized or corrected, even when it's done in love? Do you always have to win or have the last word? Do you cut in line or become impatient when you have to wait for something? You know, we all seem to think that maybe our time's a little more important than that other person in line, so we really need to be able to get in front of them, you know, or, you know, our time is more important. That's one thing that's hard, is to be patient and wait. Does it upset you that others don't mention or honor your successes? Do you resent being asked or expected to serve others because you're too busy or no one ever helped you? And are you thinking of someone who needs to hear this message or that these questions apply to? If you have an issue with pride, you would have scored 1 through 10. If you scored 0, you definitely have an issue with pride. Okay, we're going to talk about 7 ways that pride sinks us. The first one is pride wrecks our reputation. And when I was trying to get ready for this sermon, I was praying, Lord, please just give me some stories about myself that I could share with them about times that I've just really dealt with pride. And I couldn't think of any. Honestly, I could think of lots. I could fill a book. But God gave me the person in the Bible by the name of King Saul to talk to you guys about today. And he was a man who had the height of greatness, but he spoiled a lot of things because of pride. So I'm going to share a scripture with you, and then I'm going to give you just a little overview, because I know not everybody knows all of the stories of the Bible. So the scripture we're going to share first is Proverbs 11:2. It said, pride leads only to shame. It is wise to be humble. Well, if you have never read about King Saul, you can go into 1 Samuel, starting in chapter 9. And I just encourage you this week just to go in and just to read the story of Saul, because Saul leads into David. And there's such a contrast between the two men. Well, the people had just came from a time where they were under the rule, or I don't want to say rule, the guidance of Samuel. Samuel was a great priest, a great prophet who helped them make decisions, but he based all of those decisions on his conversations with God. So it got to the point where Samuel was starting to get older, And as he got older, he started to have his sons help with helping the people. But his sons did not have the same goals in mind. They were people who were very greedy, and they took bribes, and they stole, and they did things that were against what God wanted. So the people came to Samuel, and they told him, "We really would like to have a king." So Samuel went to the Lord, and he prayed, and he said, "Lord, they really want a king." And the Lord said, "Don't take it personally, Samuel. It's not you, it's me. They don't want to follow my rules. But if they want a king, I'll give them a king. But they won't like him. He will do the following things." And God listed the things that this man would do that would be contrary to what the people would want. So Samuel goes back to the people. He tells the people, "This is what God said. He'll give you a king, but this is what you can expect." They said, "We don't care. We want a king. We want to be like other nations. We want a king." So Samuel goes back to God, tells him what he says, and then God tells him, "Okay, I will give you someone to appoint king." So God tells Samuel to appoint Saul. Now, Saul was a man who was from a tribe of Benjamite. He wasn't a very big tribe. He wasn't a real big, influential family. But he was a man that was handsome. The Bible says he was taller than everyone else around him. So God chose him to be their king. And at first, Saul was very humble. "You want me?" You know, even when they announced his name, when Samuel announced who was to be their next king, he hid. And God told them, "No, he's hiding over there in the supplies." So he showed some humility. Well, after he was named king, he went back home and nothing happened for a while. Then they had a tribe by the name of the Amalekites that came in and tried to take what they had. And the king, or the leader of the Amalekites, told them that he would not attack them if they would do something for him, if they would serve him, and if they would each let him take their right eye. Could you imagine? He said, "If you let me take your right eye so that you can prove that you're going to be under my command, and that you're going to listen to me, then I won't kill you." So they said, "Give us 7 days to think about that." "Would you take 7 days to think about somebody taking your eyeball? I don't think so." So they went to Saul and told him what was going on, and Saul went with an army, and they went and destroyed the Amalekites. Well, there was lots of people who, when Saul was named, that were very negative about Saul and didn't think that he should be king. So when this happened, the people in Saul's tribe said, "Let's kill all of those people who were negative against you." And Saul said, "No, we're not going to kill them. They're going to come around, they're going to serve us, we're not going to do that." So at that time, he was very humble. He showed a lot of humility. But then, okay, in 1 Samuel 15, 1 through 3, it reads, this is Samuel saying to Saul, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys." But he didn't do that. He let the king, whose name was Agag, live. And he let the soldiers take the best of everything that they had had. So then a little further down in 1 Samuel 15:20, 21, he says, "But I did obey the Lord," Saul said. "I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord their God at Gilgal." And then in 1 Samuel 15:24, Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned." So he's starting to understand. "I have violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them." So Saul's pride led him to justify his actions, and he did that by blaming others. He didn't say, "I did this," and leave it at that. He said, "I did this because those people wanted more." He wanted to impress the people more than he wanted to impress God. Can I tell you that pride ruins our reputation? And part of the reason why is it because it erodes trust. Have you ever worked for someone and you've had some great ideas and you've given them those ideas and you've done things, but they take credit for it? Or they make a mistake, but they try to blame you for it. So that's what pride does. Pride causes us to do things that wrecks our reputation with the people that we are around. So the second one is pride kills our self-awareness. In Galatians 6:3, it says, "As if you think you're too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important." And it also says in 1 Samuel 10:8, "You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you." This is Samuel speaking, "to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you should wait till I come to you, and I'll show you what you should do." So Samuel was testing to see if Saul would obey the Lord. And then we go further in 1 Samuel 13:8 through 14, it said, "Then he waited 7 days, but according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, 'Bring a burnt offering and a peace offering here to me.' And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened that as soon as he finished presenting the burnt offering, that Samuel came, and Saul went to meet him, that he might meet him. And Samuel said, 'What have you done?' And Saul said, 'When I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, that I said, the Philistines will not come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering.' And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. But now the Lord will have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over the people.'" See, Saul disobeyed God. Pride causes us to think that we don't need the guidance or the feedback of someone else. We become defiant and we lack empathy. And it was no longer important to him, to Saul, to see the people blessed through the offering that they could have done and what God had called them to do. He chose instead to exalt his importance. And the third one is pride causes arguments. It says Proverbs 13:10, "Pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise." You know, one of the biggest conflicts in our world today is the fact that we have social media. And we can say and do things that if we were in person, we would never say or do. And one of the big things is the political discord that we have in this country. There is so much discord. Well, let me tell you something. You know, pride seeks to destroy relationships. You need to remember every day when you get up, and you need to remind yourself, I do this every day, that not everyone comes from the same background. We all have different racial, social. We all have different things that's happened to make us who we are today. Not everybody believes in the Bible. So when we go to speak to somebody about their political opinion and we throw the Bible at them, if they don't know the Bible, they don't care. It's like somebody giving you an instruction book to do something, but you have no idea who this person is. You're not going to believe everything they say. They have to have that relationship with Jesus before we can talk to them and explain to them why. So just a few little things I wanted to share with you of ways to be careful when you're speaking to someone during this political discord. One is find a common ground with them. Two is agree that you have boundaries. We can be friends, but I know that this is a subject that we're not going to agree on, so let's just don't talk about it. Three, actively listen to what they have to say. Four, fact check, big one. So many times we read stuff and we think, okay, that's true, and it's not. You need to fact check. And five, focus on a solution. But the biggest one of all is just to love them despite your differences, because love is going to be the thing that's going to bring them around. So I just encourage you just to remember that whenever you go down that path. Okay, number four is pride is unloving. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. In 1 Samuel 18:6-9, I know this is a lot of scripture. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs and with timbrels and lyres. As they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They had credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me, only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. Saul became jealous of David's success. And pride will make us all jealous of others' success. And it's inconsiderate when we get to those times we start not worrying about other people's time, not worrying about other people's resources. We gossip, we talk. Well, they may have done that, but did you see them do this? We start pointing out other people's sins instead of looking at ourselves. Okay, the fifth one is pride leads to sin. Proverbs 21:4 says, proud looks, proud thoughts, evil actions are sin. How many stories are there in the news today because of jealousy? I don't know if any of you remember, but in the 90s, there was an ice skater by the name of Tanya Harding, and her ex-husband planned this assault on one of her competitors by the name of Nancy Kerrigan, and they had someone come in and attack her with a baton and hit her in the knee and caused her damage where she couldn't compete. There's so many TV stories now, so many shows, Dateline, 48 Hours, crime stories. They go on and on and on. And all of those sins start with the root of pride. I'm so proud, but you just hurt my feelings, or you just did this, or you just did that. So it's just important to remember that pride isn't something that just goes away. In 1 Samuel 18:10-11, it says, the next day an evil spirit from God came forcefully on Saul. He was prophesying in his house when David was playing the lyre, as he usually did. And Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it, saying to himself, I'll pin David to the wall. But David eluded him twice. He tried to kill David more than one time. So that's what pride does. It leads us to sin. The sixth one is pride distances us from God. Psalms 138:6 says, though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble, and he keeps his distance from the proud. And 1 Samuel 28:3-7, Samuel had died. Saul had had all of the prophets killed. And so we're now to a point where it says, now Samuel was dead, and all of Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled the mediums and the spiritualists from the land, and the Philistines assembled and came and set up camp at Shinim, while Saul gathered all Israel and set up camp at Gilbo. Then Saul saw the Philistine army. He was afraid, and terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. So Saul said to his attendants, find me a woman who is a medium, so that I may go and inquire of her. So he no longer was listening to what God had to say. He was seeking out the enemy. He was seeking out a medium to help him know what to do next. Who do we call in an emergency? Do we call our friends and tell them everything that's been done to us? Do we go on Facebook and say, okay, this person did this? Or do we go to God and say, God, I need your help with this? So it's important that we remember who's in charge. And the last one is pride destroys us. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride leads to destruction and arrogance to downfall. In 1 Samuel 31:4, Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and run me through, or these uncircumcised fellows will come and run me through and abuse me. But the armor bearer was terrified and would not do it. So Saul took his own sword and fell on it. Saul took his own life because he didn't know what else to do. And people get to that point when they let pride overtake them. Let me tell you, the terrorists or extremists that we hear so much about anymore, people who go in with guns, lots of times those people are so overcome knowing and believing in their head that they're right, that they are too proud to listen to anything else. And then they're too proud to take, I don't want to say accountability for what they've done. So instead, they kill themselves. So it's important that we realize that pride can physically and spiritually and mentally and every aspect of our life destroy us. Okay, so let's talk real quickly about how to keep pride from sinking ourselves. One, we need to change how we see ourselves and others. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others before yourself. Regularly reflect on your thoughts and actions and ask God for insight into potential problems. Don't just go by what you think or what somebody tells you, but go to the Word of God. Have an accountability partner, someone who will be honest with you. Give them permission to be honest with you. Focus on your contributions, the things that you do for others, not your comparison of I did this and they did that. Practice gratitude. Be thankful in all things. And then the second one is trust God knows what's best for you and when. In Romans 3:27 says, where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works. No, because of a law that requires faith. You know, when we have faith, there's no room for pride. When we believe that God can take us through or do whatever, when we have that faith, pride disappears. Believe God knows what's best for you. When Roger and I, we retired 6 years ago, and he was having a lot of issues. He was going through a mental breakdown, and we had a lot going on in our life. I had some health issues. And so we really felt like we needed to retire, but we didn't think we could. He was 57, I was 58. And God opened up a door of opportunity where we were financially able to do that at that time. So not only did he open up that door, we kept praying to him. He gave us the opportunity to sell our house. We sold it ourselves. We didn't have a realtor, and we sold it within 2 weeks. Every step fell into place. And it wasn't because of anything that we did. It was because God knew our plans ahead of time. And so he allowed all of those things to happen. And that's what we need to do. We need to wait patiently on the Lord. We need to be courageous and brave during that time. And I just want to leave you with this. Remember, Abraham waited 25 years for a son that God had promised him. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness before leading the Israelites to Egypt. David waited 15 years after he was anointed to become king. And Joseph endured 13 years of slavery before becoming the second most powerful man in Egypt. So just remember as you wait, you're not the only one, and God knows what's best for you. So we're gonna have some people come up if you wanna come up for prayer. We wanna give you that opportunity. First of all, if you have any need at all, it can be spiritual, physical, financial, marriage, anything, we encourage you just to let somebody agree with you in prayer and just pray over you. If you have an issue with pride, you don't have to tell them that, but if you want to come forward and have somebody pray with you, I encourage you to also do that. But most of all, if you don't know the man who can take all of your cares, all of your worries, everything in your life, he does so much for each one of us. So I just encourage you, if you don't know him, to come forward and let somebody pray with you. And we're going to go ahead and pray together and end the service. I want everybody in here, whether you know Christ or not, to say the same prayer, just so people don't feel uncomfortable. So if you would pray with me and repeat after me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for everything that you've done. We acknowledge that you are the King of Kings. We acknowledge that you died for our sins. And we know, Lord, that you want to help us. We ask forgiveness for anything that we've done in the past. And help us, Lord Jesus, to continue to come to you. To arrange our future. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.